This is KRCU's Exposition Podcast. I'm Dan Woods. Dr. Robert Gifford, host of KRCU's Strike Up the Band, recently sat down for a conversation with band director Kyle Clay from the Perryville Consolidated School District No. 32 and two band students, Olivia Iffert and Kara Hotop. Here is their conversation.
You are listening to Strike Up the Band on KRCU Public Radio. It is a distinct pleasure to have as our guest on this week's show, Mr. Kyle Clay, who is Director of Bands in the Perryville, Missouri Public Schools. Mr. Clay has also brought some of his students to share their experiences with us. So to begin, let me welcome our special guest today. It's great to have you with us, and I'm excited about this chance to visit not only with Mr. Clay, but with his students, because I think Mr. Clay would agree with this. Anybody who's taught or been a band conductor, the most important people are the students and the musicians. We don't want them to know this, but they really, really are. So that's what it is all about. So Kyle, to begin, would you please introduce your students?
Sure. Well, first of all, I have Olivia Iffert. She's a percussionist, well-rounded percussionist, talented on the keys, but also our center snare drum for the marching band this year. And then next to her is Kara Hotop, and she is an amazing mellophone player and French horn extraordinaire. I'll use that word.
Good word.
Well, thank you, and welcome to everybody. Can each of you, and we'll even include Mr. Clay in this, tell us a little bit about yourselves, why you became interested and involved in band?
Well, I started band fifth grade, and then I started in O'Fallon, Illinois, and the band program is huge there. Yes. It's a big town. So automatically, my older sister played saxophone for 2 years before I was interested, and it got me obviously thinking about it. So then I started French horn, and then after that, I kind of grew tired of it. I only played it for a couple of months, and then I auditioned to play for percussion, and since then, you know, I auditioned because I really liked seeing the front ensemble people bop, and I really liked all of the catchy things that, you know, Drumline played. I liked the vibes that they gave off, so I was like, I want to be a part of that. It seems really cool. So I auditioned for percussion, and yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
Great. So you were a horn player for a short time.
Yeah,
there.
I played for about 6 months.
The world is full of people who tried the French horn or the horn.
Yeah.
And decided, oh, I think I'll try something else. This is too
it's
hard.
It's tricky. Yeah, the French horn is hard.
It is. So speaking of horn.
So I actually started on flute in sixth grade, which is when I first started band. Then sixth to seventh grade, and I only played flute, but I always thought brass was like a cool instrument, and I always was interested in their parts and everything. So in eighth grade, we had a beginner class for French horn, so I decided to take it, and I fell in love with French horn. So I took it eighth grade year, and then I played ever since then. I really enjoy playing my French horn. It's very fun to play, especially mellophone. I love the parts that I'm given.
So. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, well, it's the boss's turn now.
Well, I got started in band in sixth grade playing the tuba, and I can remember distinctively sitting in sixth grade band and looking at my band director, Scott Reibolt, and when he was at Dexter, and saying, I want to be just like him one day. And since then, tuba was it. I used to stay after school and practice so much. I spent so much time around Scott, and he was a great influence on me growing up as a person, but also as a band teacher and a musician. He's an excellent musician as well, and so he had a great impact on my life, and so I wanted to be that great impact on other people's lives the same way he was on mine, and that's why I'm here.
Wow, I didn't realize this. Everything comes around because Scott Reibolt was one of my students, and I used to visit his bands and clinic his bands and work with him and so forth. He was an excellent teacher.
Excellent.
We're not going to talk about his years as a student, but he was an excellent teacher. And I'll try to remember to remind him that this we're going to be on the air so that he can get a swelled head from being mentioned and so forth. So, Mr. Clay, what is the history of the band program in the Perryville schools?
Well, for this question, I had to do some research.
Good.
Because it's my first year at Perryville. And the most memory I have of Perryville school is from my high school years. And just knowing It was a really great program. And I was lucky enough to know a couple of people in the program, and they were also excellent musicians. So I had a lot of respect for the program when I was in high school. So I reached out to Mr. Seibel's wife and said, you got anything I can use about the history? And she sent me a comprehensive list of every band director dating back to 1931.
Oh, my goodness.
When the Perryville Band Program started, and every band director we've had since then, and some special performances that they had where they performed at the Gator Bowl, the Outback Bowl, and the opening of the Walmart.
Oh, wow, Walmart. Okay. I hope everybody got a free pass for some merchandise. But.
And she, I also asked her, I just said, you know, if you have something, one moment that stood out in the history of the Perryville band and her time. And I thought it was really great when she texted me. She texted me a story about they did a Flintstone show once, and they dressed a student up as a dinosaur and had two little kids, and they were running around the field kind of adding some flair to the show. And I thought that's so great that that's one of her favorite memories, because, you know, it's just playing music but also having fun with it. So
yep.
Clearly
yep.
Perryville had a history of having fun with what they're doing and enjoying what they're doing while also making really great music at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially your story. For my wife and I, and all of her years as a band widow, and me, going different bands, both of our sons were Oscar the Grouch in a garbage can.
Awesome.
And he'd throw out instruments to all the students and so forth. So, yeah, so we go from Sesame Street. Yep, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what plans do you have for the future of this program?
Well, my plans really revolve about how the students take ownership and enjoy what they're doing in this program. You know, I think I just told the students last week, you know, this isn't my program.
No.
This isn't mine. This is yours. You guys make the music. I don't play any notes during the concert. I don't do anything except wave my hands. So they take ownership of it. And I want to see them enjoy it and start to have fun with it, but also saying this is ours. Let's make it something we're really proud of, and that we can go out into the community and go, this is us, this is what we made, and present that and be proud of what they're doing. So I think I really want, that's my plan. My plan is to give them exactly what they need to be successful and to enjoy what they do.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful approach, and I agree 100% with what you're saying. Our special guests this week are Mr. Clay and his students. So I'm going to ask Mr. Clay again to tell us, what recently are you most proud of what your students have accomplished? And so we're talking about halfway through the first semester, but what are you most proud of already?
Most definitely their resilience. These students have been, we don't have enough time to tell you everything these students have been through since the tornado, I think in late March.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that.
Everything about this year is different. Not just a new director, but where their band room is, where it isn't anymore, where our practice space is. Everything has changed. And I have not had one student complain or throw a fit about anything. Everyone has just said, all right, we get it. Let's go. And they have just got to work and are making the just absolute best of every situation and every, I feel like we haven't gone a week without saying, well, something new is happening. and they just take it and they go, okay,
yeah,
let's go. And so I think that's really speaks highly of their character, to just go with the flow and know this is what we have to work with. Let's do our best with it. And I think I told them, probably don't tell them enough, that how proud I am of how they have handled all of that. So their resilience has been awesome.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like a great community. Like I always talked about, band is a family, and it sounds like that's what you've got going. So Kara and Olivia, what do you guys enjoy most about being in band?
Well, I love making music. If I didn't, I wouldn't be part of it. Yeah. But band has seriously gotten me through some hard times, and it's also been the reason for some hard times, but it's definitely been more of a positive than a negative, for sure. It outweighs the negatives a lot. It's definitely a great escape, and the atmosphere, the environment, the people is what makes up for the negatives that there is. Like, for example, my drumline, they are my best buds. Like, they're the best group of people. We've been through some crazy stuff. Like, we've had some arguments. We've almost had some people do some physical fights, go over music. But at the end of the day, like, they're really great people. And we all got each other's backs. And we've been with each other through literally blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, that's pretty much goes for the whole band. But drumline, it's a different type of bond. I don't know how to explain
it. It's a different animal, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, drummers are a different animal.
I mean, we're carrying 40-pound drums. Well, yeah. Wads are. I don't know how much snare drums are. A lot lighter than that, I can imagine. Maybe not the big bass drum, the six bass drum, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. So, Kara.
So, not only band or, like, music as a whole is my favorite, but I just love, going back to your comment about band is family, I love how we can always go to each other for anything, and I love getting to do the thing that I love with the people I love, and just having that community there for you, even when you were a freshman or going into a new school like that, and you already have about 60 other people that you know and that you can trust with anything, and that they will always be there for you. I've just always adored that about the community of band as a whole.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is this band experience could follow you all your life. You're probably neither one of you are going to become a music major, and a very, very few do. So how do each of you, let's start with Kara first, how do you think this experience is going to prepare you for life?
I think it'll help me with a lot of communicating with other people or networking as a whole, because I feel like you can connect with a lot of people through music and through the things that you do as when you're in school or when you're anywhere in your life. You can always be like, oh, I was in band in high school, and someone will be like, oh, like I was in color guard, and you can connect there at that point. Or even the cheerleaders can connect with us because they are a part of our band too, just because they perform with us at football games.
Well, for me, it has taught me time management. It can be pretty crazy sometimes with school and college dual enrollment classes and, you know, a job, all the other stuff. Some people are doing sports. So time management, discipline for sure, kindness, because whenever you're hot, sweaty, hungry, and thirsty, it can be really difficult to be kind. And my theme for this year, I would say, is staying humble. There's a lot of instances where sometimes I can get to my head about things or the exact opposite, and I have to remember who I am and who I should be. And I think band is helping me a lot with keeping me humble. It really does humble me. So, yeah.
Well, you guys, we need to send this discussion around the world, because it's really, you're saying all the right things and all the positive things, and I'm glad, so glad that you feel that way. What about each of you, your own personal career goals?
Yeah, so I want to be an athletic trainer. I don't know, I've always loved sports, and I did think about majoring in music education for a bit there, but I realize I don't have the patience for teaching.
Yep.
It takes a lot, and I respect all of them very much, all the music teachers and teachers overall. So, yeah, I would love it, but I just don't have the patience for it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with her there. Patience is definitely one of the things that I struggle with the most, but I'm wanting to go into ultrasound tech, and I've always wanted to do something in the health field like that, just because I like being very personable with people, and I feel like in that career you're very connected with the people that you work with and your patients and everything. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing these personal items. We recently lost one of the best band directors in Southeast Missouri, who was an outstanding music educator and a great human being. I first met Eric Seibel when he was a graduate student at the University of Central Missouri, and this initial contact led to years of collaboration and friendship. I remember going back to my own high school many, many years ago, but where Eric was teaching and soloing with the band, and that was a wonderful experience. He was doing a great job there. And, of course, my association with him in the Perryville schools and another association through the Missouri Ambassadors of Music and our summer European tours. He and his wife were the best possible staff members we could have. In Mr. Seibel's honor, the citizens of Perryville and alums of the Perryville Band Program commissioned a work by well-known Missouri composer John Prescott. So, Mr. Clay, tell us a little bit. I realize you weren't there, but tell us what you can about that piece.
Mr. Seibel, I think, was obviously a tremendous person and influence on this community. I became friends with his daughter, actually, through SEMO Band Camp way back in the day
when we used to do that. Okay. Yeah. Martha.
That's a throwback. and I met her and a couple other students from Perryville. And, you know, you could just automatically tell just the respect that the students had for Mr. Seibel already.
Yeah.
That was very evident. And, you know, I met him a few times when I was in high school. And I think for a high schooler to look at another teacher from another program and I had a tremendous respect for him. It says a lot about his character and how he's just a great person and obviously had a huge impact on the community, the school, and to have all these alumni come together and say, we have to do something special for him, you know, just speaks volumes about him. And I think the piece is a beautiful way to remember his influence on the band. We play it every year at graduation.
I'm
looking forward to being a part of it.
Yeah.
This year, and I know it involves the fight song. Is mixed in there, and so, I think it's a beautiful way to remember him, and I really look forward to doing it justice at graduation. I think I say the national anthem is the most important song we play on Friday nights at football games. In my opinion, this is going to be one of the most important pieces we play throughout the year. And it's at the very end, and it'd be a good way to keep us focused in, but I want to do it. I want to make sure we sound really good for that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Another one of Mr. Clay's favorite band works is Samuel Hazo's Fantasy on a Japanese Folk Song. So, Mr. Clay, where did you first encounter this work, and why do you like it so much?
Well, I actually just found this over the summer. I know I'm late to the party on this one. I was just kind of going through as I do and listening to a lot of different concert band pieces, and when I see Samu Hazo, I'm like, yes, let me listen to it. Let's go. Maybe we can do it, maybe we can't, but let's do it. And this piece just grabbed my attention, and I have listened to it probably three times a week still, because I think he does such an amazing job of telling the story without using any words, with using concert band music. You can listen to it one time and not know anything about the whole story and the composer's notes, and you go, something happened here. You feel the tranquility at the beginning. And the middle part, there's obviously some conflict either within oneself or an actual conflict. That's for you to decide on how you feel about that.
Yeah.
And then the ending of the piece, which I think is the most beautiful part, is you hear that theme from the beginning, but something's different.
Yeah.
You know, that something from the conflict is still lingering. Like, you found that piece, but it's a different piece. And,
well, I
love it.
That's a really good description of the work. It is once again time to leave the band and its music. Thanks to Mr. Clay, Kara, and Olivia for joining us this week. And I want to wish you continued success with your band program.
You've been listening to a conversation with Dr. Robert Gifford, host of KRCU Strike Up the Band, and band director Kyle Clay, along with band students Olivia Ifford and Kara Hotop from the Perryville Consolidated School District No. 32. KRCU's Exposition Arts and Culture podcast dives into the arts, music, and culture scene of Cape Girardeau and the surrounding area. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org, and don't forget to subscribe to Exposition wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode.